WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Resist temptation and follow Jesus in his last week at the desert. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. He's here.
Very good, Dr. Palmer. And that was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chippo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
We most certainly do. And I want to say something, though. Okay. Last Saturday, we had a great day of divine mercy with Paul Miller.
Yes.
You remember Paul, listeners? He's been on our show several times.
Oh, several. Eight times.
Yeah, and... he did such a great day that we're now going to get a bus. Why don't you read a little commercial?
Well, we got a little commercial because Paul Miller decided to sponsor our show. We're now a 501c3 nonprofit.
Oh, beautiful.
And so Paul is sponsoring our show, and just put a little commercial. I'll read it. Listeners, April 12th, the Sunday after Easter, is Divine Mercy.
Is that Divine Mercy Sunday?
Divine Mercy Sunday.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking about that a little bit today, too. Join frequent guest, Brother Paul Miller, at the New Jersey Center of Divine Mercy in St. Rocco's Church in Newark, New Jersey. The service begins with a Mass at 11 a.m. and is followed by a hailing service, the Chapel of Divine Mercy, exposition of and benediction, and confession will be available beginning at 9:30 a.m. for more. For information, visit Center, C-E-N-T-E-R-O-V, that's of, DivineMercy.com. That's the Center of DivineMercy.com. And also, we're doing something a little special for this little event, and maybe I'll ask John Palmer to tell you about it.
Yeah, well, you know, it was so nice. I just thought I'd get a bus and have a bus go out of Christopher Morley Park, exit 36 in... really, it's been Benhasset, but exit 36, it's Searingtown Road, and you come up, and the park is right there, and you get a bus. It's $25 for the trip over and back for the whole day on the 12th.
Any food?
You bring your own food.
I'm free?
No, you've got to pay.
Oh, no, you're not going to pull that stunt on me again, Palmer.
And also, we want to explain to Paul that Trevor is not here to be able to read stuff today, so yeah, maybe next time, if you want him to read stuff, we'll have him.
But I think I did a good job.
Well,
I don't think I could do it.
I would call it passable. What do you say, Rose?
Well, it was Brooklynese.
I would call it
Brooklynese.
Brooklynese. Well, okay. And we have Rose Malfetto here.
Ah, what a
guest. And Rose, I've known for a number of years. She's a social worker.
She's not bragging about that, by the way.
Well, I don't think, but she's okay. A social worker. And she has a practice in Huntington. And
with
she
Dr.
does
Carlson.
So many. So with who, doctor?
Yeah, with Dr. Carlson.
Yeah,
Carlson, right, yes.
And she has so many interesting stories about prayer and the power of prayer.
But she's got something special to talk about today. Is that right, Rose?
Yes, I do.
And that's why I really wanted her on the show.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. So why don't we just shut up?
Yeah, why don't you?
Rose, why don't you tell us what you want to talk about?
I think I what's on my heart to talk about is the pressing into prayer. And also the agreement of prayer with a prayer partner, how important it is when a sudden adversity comes. So I'm going to go back to, and I have the date in my mind, July 20th, 2014. My mom had some really bad back pain, and she was, you know, admitted into the hospital for sciatica, and really, really excruciating pain. Okay, so in the interim, she has a heart attack in the emergency room that I did not know about because the doctors didn't say anything to us until I went back to the hospital to visit her. So she had a heart attack, and then she had a stroke.
Oh, my gosh.
So she had that in the hospital, but, you know, originally it was for sciatica. So you can't imagine, you know, going to, you know, in within like 24 hours, she's went in for one thing and then she has like a sudden stroke and she's not able to walk. She's not able to get out of bed. She's not able to dress herself. You know, so it was quite tragic for me and for my sister to see, you know, someone who was so vivacious in her life. And then, you know, to see her that way was kind of devastating. But she has always been... She's always been the wind beneath my wings to do things. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to... And she said, Rose, you got to press in. And I was going to a conference. I was flying to a conference in Chicago for the National Association of Social Workers. And she said, keep going, keep pressing in, keep trusting God. So I did. I got on that flight with my prayer partner. And I said, okay, it's time for prayer and it's time to get serious and it's time to press in to the throne room of heaven. And we started to pray. And I went to the conference, and it was a beautiful conference. And then, you know, I came back, and I said, okay, I'm going to continue to pray. And we started my girlfriend and I started doing the Divine Mercy. And we also were praying the rosary. And we were doing it relentlessly and taking scripture and praying. And here is, nobody can see me, but I have my whole armor, and I got ready for prayer. St. Bernadette, the Bible, the rosaries, the Divine Mercy. And I went on a mission. And her and I agreed in prayer every day.
You forgot the cross.
Oh, and this beautiful cross that changed. This is, you know, another... you know, the crosses were turning, you know, gold as we were praying. This one was turning gold as we were praying and as we were pressing in. Okay, so now I said, okay, I need somebody to pray over my mother. So I called Father Sulia from St. Cyril's and Methodius, and I know he doesn't mind me saying this, but he came to pray over
Father
her.
Father Dennis, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Father Dennis came, and mind you, my mother was in Glen Cove Hospital, you know, which was not close to St. Cyril's, which is the parish that my mother belongs to. So he did come, and he prayed over her. And when he prayed over her, her vital signs at that time were, like, everything was havoc. Diabetes was going up. Blood pressure was here. Everything was all havoc. When he prayed over her, and after he prayed over her, he left. The nurses came and said everything was stabilized. That was the beginning of the healing. But she was still bedridden. And she was still getting changed, and she was still having people, you know, take care of her. And she had, she was still in the hospital. She was in the rehab. So we continued to pray. What was so interesting and so beautiful about this is that my prayer partner did not tell me that when I visited the hospital or when I was, you know, going to talk to doctors and handle this whole medical team. Because I'm a social worker, so that was like kind of my responsibility. Yeah. My sister did the medical part. And my prayer partner went to adoration while I did that. So I was backed up with prayer like 24/7.
Tell our listeners what adoration is.
Oh, adoration is the exposition of the body and blood of Christ. And
in the monstrance.
And it's a beautiful devotion of mine and many others, I'm sure. And it is so super powerful. You know, it's going, when I say pressing in, you know, you have to press into the throne room of heaven. You can't just say in the name of the Father, Son, I hope my mother's okay. You have to get in there, and you've got to get in there with Jesus and pray and believe. So, you know, adoration is such an important part of the journey that I was on. Adoration, the rosary, the Divine Mercy, praying scriptures, quoting scripture.
Are you sure you're Catholic?
I'm Catholic.
Okay.
I'm a born-again, spirit-filled Catholic. Yeah.
Don't mind his questions.
No, that's okay. But I am Catholic.
She knows me. She's used to it.
I've been under a great mentor, which was Father Ralph DiIorio my whole life. So you know what? He's taught me all this. So, you know,
that's where I met
God.
Your mother.
Right, that's where you met my mom, and my mom's here today. She walked in. She was a trooper. And so we kept praying, and we kept praying, and then she got released from – she had to go to another rehab, and then she was doing the exercises, and okay. And, you know, she was getting progressively better. Then my prayer partner and I took her to Father Ralph DiIorio's service, got her in a car, drove her up this is like with the mat. We're going to bring my mother in.
Up to Massachusetts
on a ferry,
yeah.
You know, pressing into prayer. And When Father DiIorio saw my mother, because, you know, he knows us from years. We've gone on pilgrimages with him. He said, we're going to get rid of that apparatus today, because she had a walker and all kinds of things. Called her up. She sat in the middle of the healing mass. He laid hands on her head, and she got up. He says, now walk, because she wasn't really walking before. Walk. And she walked without the walker, and she has not walked without walker since.
Wow. Wonderful. Congratulations.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Yeah.
Now,
divine
mercy,
a lot of people don't believe that either.
Divine mercy played a role in this. Oh. Now, can you just quickly explain how divine mercy, which is going to be in 2 weeks, comes into this picture?
Okay. Well, the divine mercy, when you need a healing and when you need God's favor and you need his help, you enter into his mercy, his heart, you know, his heart. And, you know, he was very instrumental because I went into, after my mother had her, you know, a little bit of reprieve, I went into another battle, and it was a legal battle. And I said, oh, God, okay, here we go. We're going to go step two, press in. And I said, this is the year of... Now I'm going to say I'm under attack. This is the year. I turn things around. This is the year.
A settlement.
He's going to show settlement. Himself. God yes. is going to show himself.
I'm getting settlement.
So what happened was I began to pray again. And this time my prayer partner and I, we did something that was amazing. We said we're going to fast. We're going to pray. We're going to come into my office. We're going to prostrate ourselves on the floor, and we're going to say divine mercies from the time we get in there to the time we can't do it anymore. And sometimes it was 15 without stopping. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. We would get up, and I go to the Bible to see what God says to us. And I have had scriptures where it says, my child, I am with you. You will be okay. You know, all is well. That word I got constantly, all is well. All is well. And I would get this consistently. Scriptures that confirmed the other scripture. I wrote them all down. I encourage everyone, when you want to press in, get a journal. See what God's saying to you.
Press in means prayer partner.
Press in means keep pressing into prayer.
Keep going after him.
And then... what we did, which was another beautiful devotion during this trial, is that I said to my prayer partner, you know what? Let's go on a journey. Where are we going, Rose? Because she knows I'll get in a car and hop to anywhere. So I said, no, we're not going to Europe or anything. We are going to go to 9 churches a day, and we are going to knock on the doors of the inn like the Blessed Mother, and we are going to knock and knock until we get the answer. So we would get in the car. We would sometimes we plan it out. Sometimes we let the Holy Spirit do it. And we would go to 9 churches in one day, go to the tabernacle, say a rosary and a divine mercy, and then get in the car and go to another church and say, Jesus, we're here. We're visiting you. Another divine mercy. We did it for 9 times to show that we are knocking. We are seeking. We are going. And you know what? And God honored that. He honored the effort. He honored the devotion. He honored the mercy. His mercy came down. You could feel his mercy by the end of the day. We were on fire. You know, his mercy. He saturated.
Yes.
And he held me up through such a trial. He held me up. And the beauty of it was there was so much I learned from it. I got stronger as a Christian. There were so many beautiful things that came from this beautiful heart of his mercy, the divine mercy. And then to top it off, to end, you know, Saint Bernadette was my, she's my patron saint. She's my saint from confirmation.
So I found out.
And I tell kids when I was speaking in the schools to, you know, when I was doing my high teen esteem, I would say to the girls or the boys, whoever your saint is for confirmation, that's not just a name on a certificate. That's your saint to implore their help in time of need. So Saint Bernadette, I said, okay, you're my friend in heaven. We've got to get to this. So when I was in the legal battle, when I got my new attorney, guess what day he asked me to come in? On the Feast of Saint Bernadette. So
I want to stop you just for a minute with Saint Bernadette, because a lot of people don't realize that saints, even though they've gone before us, they intercede for us. They get right in the middle. They press in with you.
They press in with you.
That's the whole idea.
And she gave me a sign that day, I am with you. And I'm hearing you. The Blessed Mother was hearing us, and Jesus was hearing us, the divine mercy. His mercy is, you know, I just want to just really tell anybody who's listening to this, whoever has a trial, whoever's going through anything, his mercy, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter, you know, how far you feel away from him. When you start the process of, I trust you, I am going to press in, I'm going to enter the throne room, watch what God does in your situation. Watch what he does with that trust and that persistent, you know, persistent prayer.
And it's always when you're at the end of your rope, he comes through with something. Always.
And, you know, in the journey, what the two of you did not know, which was interesting, last year you two were speaking on the Divine Mercy Sunday.
Yes.
And there I ran into both of you again.
Yes.
And both of you said, watch what God does. He speaks through scriptures. I said, wow, you know what? Because I was keeping my journal. Yeah. I felt like saying, I know that. You know, and but I kept quiet and I kept very, like my prayer partner and I, we just did this and we didn't speak about it. We just did it. We did it as a devotion. We didn't say we were doing all this. We didn't say anything. We kept it sacred and holy. And we can, and I encourage that because, you know what, sometimes people mean well when you tell them, oh, I'm praying. Oh, well, why don't you do it this way? We stayed focused only on what God wanted us to do. And then I said, there'll be a time when God will get the glory.
Absolutely.
And I said, and I am so honored to give it to him.
And he comes through, not only through scripture. I could be in prayer because we've all had pain in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And a song on the radio will
comes
touch
all
me
different ways.
It's not a religious one.
Yeah,
it's
all
just
different
a song
ways.
That's
all
there.
Ways.
Scripture's
God,
not the only way.
And it's the Holy Spirit because God's everywhere.
God.
And you have to open yourself up.
Yeah.
Receiving his message in all different ways. Maybe in scripture, but it may also be in pictures. It may be in changing a cross. I had a cross that turned gold, too, by the way, with my wife. And it was amazing. It was a silver cross. And
this
it turned
is all
completely
silver.
Gold. I have pictures of it. So all
I have nothing
ways.
To turn gold, and I can't even hock it.
And the biggest
and
sign.
It's amazing the way he addresses everybody differently. So you can't just sit there and wait. You have to look and listen for it.
And to just to confirm what you're saying, after all this and after praying and getting scriptures and getting signs and getting rosaries and things to turn gold, I was on my bed. I'm like, okay, Jesus, just keep giving me strength. My girlfriend was watching a TV show. I was not watching it. She was watching a Christian TV show, and it was an evangelist, actually, and he was praying. And he says, there is a woman named Rose. You're on your bed right now. God sees everything that you went through, and you will be fine through this whole thing. And God has heard your prayer, and, you know, doors that will close are opening, and you are set free.
And nobody would know that but you.
Right.
And it's personal, and it's intimate, and it's your spiritual experience with God's love in your life.
And it should be kept in your heart.
Yeah.
And it's kept in my
and
heart.
And share with others.
It should be kept
and
in your heart.
And it's kept in my heart. And he knows my heart that when I want to give him, you know, I just want to give him glory because without him, this would not have happened. And here's my mother here today who does walk, who's independent.
And I could attest to that.
Yeah, we
I could certainly attest to it. And
she didn't want to come and talk because she's a little nervous. But
little shy.
She can't, just to let listeners know, she can talk.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She can walk. And all those things have been healed.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't want to just pass over what Father Diorio's gifts are.
Oh.
And he's been a healer for years, and he has such tremendous gifts. I've been there and when he's prayed over me and prayed over my wife who had cancer. She died of cancer, but that was not the thing that he was going to heal at that time. She got healed spiritually before she died.
Absolutely.
But God touches us in so many ways.
Different ways.
Yeah.
But we need to be open to it. That's the whole point. We need to be
believe.
Able to get rid of all that noise going around in our heads and just be open
see,
to
I
it.
See, I got quiet.
He's going to. Yes.
I turned the radio off when I went through. I didn't listen to the radio in the car. I got quiet.
And just prepare yourself for it.
I read. I prayed. I read. Got up. Went to bed. I prayed. I read. And I turned the radio off in the car. I was just me, Jesus, my prayer partner, you know, and Father Durio's ministry was very instrumental. They were praying. They have been praying. And, you know, and
what do you say to people who say you're nuts for doing stuff like that? Because I get that all the time.
What do you say to them?
I say to them, the proof is in the pudding. if there's a healing and things happen and you're all right and you make it through, you know, one day at a time and you live in the now of God, you're going to be happy.
Absolutely.
And it works.
Right. And what I do say.
And it's free.
Right. And this has been, and we know because we're counselors.
I know.
And some people who have had this incorporated in the counseling have gotten set free, completely set free.
Yeah.
But also, what do I say to people? I said, you know what? Why don't you ask Jesus if he's real? Because he'll show up.
Yeah. I tell him, you know, don't knock it if you haven't tried it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, try it, and then you'll see what happens.
Ask for a confirmation.
Ask him if he's real.
You always get it.
I said,
ask for a confirmation, and by hook or crook, may not be that day, maybe another day or another week, but you'll get a confirmation.
And we have a new engineer, and you should see the startled look on his face.
I know, I'm passionate about this.
Good.
Now, he's real.
Oh, we know that. Yeah.
And he's alive, real. And people should just ask him, are you real? Show yourself to me. That's what I say to people. Ask him to show himself to you, and he'll show up.
I don't know if I even had it. I had a letter today, a love letter from him today. I think it's in the thing. If I could find it, maybe we'll read it.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a love letter from Jesus. You know, you get them. Don't
oh,
you
I get
them
every day.
You get them once.
You know what? As long as we're on a love letter, can I stop for just a minute? Because I'm not going to read the whole thing. But he says, he has a spiritual exercise for anyone who wants to be healed of anything. We do not care if your discomfort is spiritual, mental, or physical. We simply quiet the storm in your life at this moment in time, and we will sound an all clear. And here's the exercise that he wants you to do. So simple. Take a deep breath. Listeners, take a deep breath. Inhale our truth in love. And now let the purity of our freshness into your being. And then exhale all evil. Do it once more. Inhale our grace-filled love. Exhale the mischief of evil in you. And we will send those particles of evil to the foot of the cross of our Son, Jesus, the Messiah. And we will seal you in our most precious blood of our Son, Jesus. And we will fill the void left by evil's departure with a fresh outpouring of our true love in you. Be still. Know that we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are unity in love, will rise to your conscious awareness. We will make you one with us in love, and we welcome you to our new Jerusalem internally, experientially, and intimately. Now, dear friends, dear listeners, you have a private, personal, intimate healing exercise. Do this every time you lose us in the midst of the storms in your life. We cannot place a limit on the number of times you can use this healing exercise. Try it. See how it affects you. Do it repeatedly if necessary. The least it will do is distract you from your negativity. The most it will do is strengthen our bond of love. And he began with the psalm, says, Jesus, you're my strength and power, which is part of
which
the psalms for
is.
Today.
Yes.
And you just say, you know, if you don't try it, don't knock it.
Absolutely.
And that's really the simple thing. It's so simple.
Absolutely.
Has to be simple for me
instead
anyway.
Instead of you reading the, the reflection today, I'd like to read the love letter that I got.
Go ahead. Sure.
Okay. It's a love letter. And it says,
we're going to get back to Rose after that.
Yes.
Okay.
Dear friend, how are you? I just had to send a note to tell you how much I love you and care about you. I saw you yesterday as you were talking with your friends. I waited all day, hoping you would want to talk to me also. As evening drew near, I gave you a sunset to close your day and a cool breeze to rest you. And I waited. You never came. Oh, yes, it hurts me, but I still love you because I am your friend. I saw you fall asleep last night and longed to touch your brow. So I spilt moonlight upon your pillow and face. Again, I waited, wanting to rush down so we could talk. I have so many gifts for you. You awakened late and rushed off to work. My tears were in the rain that was falling on your head. Today you looked so sad, so all alone it makes my heart ache. Because I understand my friends let me down and hurt me many times too. But I love you. Oh, if you would only listen to me. I love you. I love you. I try to tell you in the blue sky and in the quiet green grass. I whisper it in the leaves and on the trees and breathe it in the coolness of the flowers. I shout it to you in the mountain streams and give the birds love songs to sing to you. I clothe you with warm sunshine and perfumes in the air with nature's scents. My love for you is deeper than the ocean and bigger than the biggest want or need in your head. Oh, if you only knew how much I want to walk and talk to you, we could spend an eternity together in heaven. I know how hard it is on this earth. I really know, and I want to help you. I want to meet you. My father also wants to meet you. He wants to help you too. My father is the way, you know. Just call me, ask me, talk to me. Oh, please, don't forget me. I have so much to share with you. All right, I won't bother you any further. You are free to choose me. If you decide, I'm there. I have chosen you, and because of this, I will wait, because I love you. Your friend, Jesus.
Isn't that what you're talking about, Rose?
Yes.
I was just get quiet. He'll talk to you. Go ahead.
And then I really love this book, God Calling, by A.J. Russell. I don't know if anybody knows it.
Oh,
but,
yes.
But when you want
yes.
to hear from God, he does speak through this.
Yes.
And this was something that we got a lot of scriptures, my prayer partner and I, and we also got a lot of things from this particular book. This is one that we turn to, you know, just opening it. I would say, Jesus, speak to me. I would put my hand on it, and I would just open to something that would pertain to that day or whatever we were praying about. And this one we used to get a lot. When two agree, if two of you shall agree, I am the truth. Every word of mine is true. Every promise of mine shall be fulfilled. First, gather together in my name, bound by a common loyal to me, desirous only of doing my will. Then, when this is so, I am present too, a self-invited guest. And when I am there, and one of with you, voicing the same petition, making your demands mine, then it follows the request is granted. But when man has failed perhaps to realize is all that lies behind the words, for two to agree about the wisdom of a request, to be certain it should be granted, it will be granted. If it should be, it is not the same as two agreeing to pray that request.
Very good.
How did you choose your prayer partner? Or how did your prayer partner choose you?
Oh, that's a very good...
I think they chose each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
I suspect.
Well, here's what happened, and this is the truth. We were at a service when we brought my mother, because I didn't know what my other dilemma was coming at the time. Father Diorio walked up to the two of us, and he said to her, somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. And we looked at each other like, okay, what does this mean? Like, I thought we just got my mother healed. Now what's coming? Yeah. So, but then something else came that God knew, and he said, someone needs you. And she took on the mission, and she took on the assignment that God had for her to pray with me and to help me in that time of need. She's a wonderful friend and a blessing. And she, too, has gotten healed of MS through all this. So God is so good. She's getting healed. We have been praying and praying. And, you know, the power of prayer and Jesus in the middle is what life's all about.
Absolutely. But, you know, you bring up another point, a very interesting point, and that point is prayer partners, which is really, I think, fairly new, and not too many people consider that or think about that. They pray for one another and stuff like that. But prayer partners are like sisters in Christ, like twins.
Mary and Elizabeth. Yeah. Sisterhood.
Yes. I'll never forget her name.
Yeah, and I was like, Blessed Mother, sorry. But
the point is to it's a new aspect, I think, that not many people think about, to combine with someone else and pray for the same petition, and it makes it that much more powerful, that much more poof up into heaven with Jesus.
And didn't Jesus tell people to go out two by two?
Right.
Very good.
Two by two.
Yes.
Right. That's a very good one. Two by two.
Yeah. So yeah, and so that's another point that's not really looked too much upon, that's been skipped over.
And he also says, you know, if you don't go out by two, I'm going to hit you with my two by four.
and I think what's important, too, is with a prayer partner, and I say this because I'm a counselor, but you have to really pick someone or choose someone through the Holy Spirit that has your heart, that has your confidence, that will keep your, you know, whatever you're praying with sacred, and not say, they really keep it, you know, in the midst of their heart, too.
Absolutely.
And bring it to the throne room. And like I said, it was kept sacred. And the answers have been.
And it becomes such a relationship that whenever anything falls apart, you get on the phone immediately and you call your partner.
We do that on a daily basis, even if it's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, what are we praying about today? You know, Rose, I got to go to the doctor. Or I got to, let's agree in prayer. Father, we come together in this need, and we ask you, by the name of Jesus, to intervene in this situation.
So that's an excellent point. So, listeners, you may want to think about choosing a prayer partner, someone that you can sit down with and maybe pray for a few minutes and make the prayer doubly as powerful as it is.
Double power.
And, you know, last Saturday we had this lovely young lady who came and sang as part of Paul Miller's ministry.
Oh, yeah, she was very good.
Angela Creamy, CRMI.
And she'll probably be singing at the Divine Mercy thing.
Yeah, and she sang a song that would drive you up the wall. And it's the breastplate of St. Patrick.
And I was bawling when she played.
Go ahead.
Well, can I say? I was bawling when I heard that when I went to.
Oh, is that what you were doing? I was wondering what was going on when I was looking at you.
I was crying. This song spoke to me so much, I couldn't contain it, because it just summed all of what I did, all that Jesus did for me.
And we hope it speaks to our listeners too.
I bind myself to the power of heaven. I bind myself to the
Sound like the zealots on the corner work walking with sandwich boards on, but our sandwich boards are not saying the end of the world is here. It's saying open yourself to the love of God inside of you and let him touch you and let him lead you, and then you don't have to worry about it in times. Just let him be in charge. It's the way it goes.
Isn't that what everyone is talking about? The Catholic Church is saying, Jesus is saying.
Yeah. I mean, we look around the world and we see all these horrible things that are happening. I can't even watch the news. No. And all I do is put myself in the presence of God and say, Lord, help those people, please, and touch them. We don't know what's going on inside of each of those people, persons who have been touched or hurt or even their heads chopped off. Oh, what was going on? What's God doing there?
Yeah.
But he has worked with them, and maybe they're just martyrs to bring people to their knees.
Isn't that what Easter's all about?
I think so.
Isn't it? And isn't it Palm Sunday what that maybe is a little bit all about? By the way, when we start doing the saint, I want to talk a little bit about Palm Sunday. Because
why don't you do it now?
Okay, so the question is, exactly what is Palm Sunday? Why did people pull out palms? Why did they take palms, and why did they wave palms when Jesus was walking on a donkey and saying, Hosanna, 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 and he was walking through the villages, and he was blessing everybody. So the question is simple. Palm Sunday is the day we celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, exactly 1 week before his resurrection, as stated in Matthew 21:1. As Jesus entered the holy city, he neared the end of his long journey, 3 years. He had come to save the lost, and now was the time. This was the place to secure the salvation. Palm Sunday marked the start of what is often called Passion Week, the final 7 days of Jesus' ministry and his earthly ministry. Palm Sunday was the beginning of the end of Jesus' work on earth. It is, to put it in a nutshell, a tragic thing to see our Savior not recognized for what he was, because they expected him to enter in Jerusalem as a victor on a white horse, as a savior. Instead, he chose to enter on a donkey. And while the crowds were crying out, Hosanna, on Palm Sunday, They quickly changed and cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" On Good Friday, 5 days after. So, what is Palm Sunday all about? It's about Jesus ending his ministry. It's about Jesus ending his ministry the way he ended his life on earth, in a humble manner. Walking on a donkey, walking with a donkey, and not being flagrantly, triumphantly parading himself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what caused the people to be confused and cry out, "Crucify him." And I think that's what Palm Sunday is all about. It's about the confusion of people and Jesus on his last journey on earth.
And you know what, Tony? I agree with you. And it's the reason why Rose and her mother have just become so enamored of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's the reason why all of our saints become so enamored.
Absolutely.
Look at Saint Bernadette.
And that's the one I'm going to work
on. Why don't you move into?
Yeah. Well, what happened was this was another last minute, because we did find out that Saint Bernadette is Rose's favorite saint. So who is Saint Bernadette? Saint Bernadette, if I'm saying her last name correctly,
Subaru,
is best known for the Marian apparition of a small young lady who asks for a chapel to be built at a nearby garbage dump on the cave grotto where the Blessed Mother appeared. Despite initial skepticism of the Catholic Church, her claims were eventually declared worthy of belief, and the Blessed Mother did appear and became a Marian apparition known as Our Lady of Lourdes. Since her death, her body has apparently remained internally incorrupt, but is not without blemish. During her third time that she was exhumed in 1925, a firm made light wax coverings for her face and hands, which were starting to become discolored. And a mask was placed on her face and hands before she was moved to her final resting place. On December 8, 1933, Pope Pius XI declared Bernadette a saint of the Catholic Church. A feast day was fixed for February 18th, the day Our Lady promised to make her happy, not in this life, but in her next life. And that's such an awesome promise. The faithful, however, gave her two more feast days, April 16th, the day of her death, and February 11th, the day Our Lady stepped from heaven into her heart. Bernadette was known as a very subtle, humble child. She didn't ask for much, and she was born on January 7, 1844, and baptized in the local parish. Bernadette's godmother was Bernard Castellat, her mother's sister, a moderately wealthy widow who owned a tavern. Hard times had fallen on Bernadette's parents, so Bernadette had to rely on her aunt and her godmother. And she was sickly. She contracted and suffered from asthma all her life. Bernadette attended the school conducted by the Sisters of Charity. By the time of the events of the grotto, her family's financial and social status had declined to a point where they lived in one-room basement formerly used as a jail, where they were housed for free by her mother's cousin, which is the case in a lot of events on saints. Jesus and the Blessed Mother and Heavenly Father don't always pick the rich and the famous to become their saints. They pick the low and the poor.
I hate to use a line that I've heard in prayer. prophets never make a profit.
I love that. May I use it?
Sure.
Okay. On February 14th, after Sunday Mass, Bernadette with her sister Marie and some other girls returned to the grotto, Bernadette, where they had originally had encountered the Blessed Mother. Bernadette knelt down immediately, saying she saw the Blessed Mother and falling into a trance. When one of the girls threw holy water at the niche, another threw a rock from above the shattered on the ground, and the apparition disappeared. On her next visit, February 18th, she said that the vision asked her to return to the grotto every day for a fortnight, which she did. And she made her claims, and she spoke about it. Bernadette's story caused a sensation with the townspeople, who were divided in their opinion. Some believed, some didn't. Some believed her to have a mental illness and demanded that she be put into an asylum. The other contents of Bernadette's reported visions were simple and focused on the need for prayer and penance. On February 25th, she explained that the vision had told her to drink of the water in the spring, to wash with it, and to eat the herb that grew there as an act of penance. To everyone's surprise, the next day, the grotto was no longer muddy but clear water. On March 2nd, the 13th of an alleged apparition, Bernadette told her family that the lady said that a chapel should be built and a possession formed. Some of the people who heard this and intervened her did not believe. After her revelations of the visions, through her simple-minded and her simple explanation, despite being rigorously interviewed by officials of both the Catholic Church and the French government, she stuck consistently to her story. After thorough investigation, the church authorities confirmed authentically of the apparitions in 1862, and in the 150 years since Bernadette dug up the spring in 1869, cures have been verified by the Lord. After that, the church claims are extremely rigorous and scientific, and medical explanations that fail to find any other explanations for the thousands and thousands of cures of the people that bathed themselves in the waters of Lourdes. Her body was incorrupt. During the attention she was attracting, Bernadette went to the hospice school run by Sisters of Charity, where she finally learned to read and write. So all this while she was an illiterate. Although she considered joining the Carmelites, her health precluded her from entering. On July 29th, with 42 other candidates, she took the religious habit and joined the Sisters of Charity at the Mother House. The Mother Superior at that time gave her the name Marie Bernadette in honor of the godmother, who was named Bernardi. She spent the rest of her life there, working as an assistant, taking care of the poor, praying to our Blessed Mother, and humbly avoiding the publicity that was being given to her. She never wanted that publicity. All she wanted to do was to honor the Blessed Mother. And she died on April 1879, and her body was laid to rest. Bernadette was declared venerable by Pope Pius X and blessed on June the 14th by Pope Pius the 11th. She was officially canonized saint by Pope Pius the 11th on December the 8th, 1933. And at the end of the solemn mass celebrated by Pope Pius the 11th, the crowd spontaneously intoned the singing of the Ave Maria of Lourdes as it is sung in the sanctuary of our Lourdes. Bishop of Nevers, and the church exhumed the body of Bernadette on 22 September 1909 in the presence of representatives and appointed by the church, two doctors, and a sister of community. They claimed that although the crucifix in her hand and her rosary had oxidized, her body appeared incorrupt and so remains mostly incorrupt today. So that's the story of St.
Bernadette. But you know, you're right in line with what Rose has been talking about. Here is a very simple woman, young child really, who just gave her life over to God by doing simple things and allowing the presence of God to take over. And through Lourdes, there have been many miracles.
Thousands and thousands.
You know? And you had a happening, you can call it a favor granted by God in terms of your mother.
Absolutely. You know?
Yes.
And what a gift.
What a gift.
And you really, Tony, by going through the saint, just confirming how you can have a saint as a prayer partner, too.
You know, John, that is so beautiful.
Why not?
That is such a beautiful statement.
Why not?
Boy.
You know, you just have to use your imagination. That's what St. Ignatius Loyola talked about.
Oh, yes, that's what he did.
Use your imagination and come close to
God
that, that
way. Yeah. I love that.
Rose, we want
can
to
I
get
use
back.
That?
Do you have it?
Could I use that?
Sure.
My talk?
I won't even charge you for it.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll get a bill.
Rose, do you have anything else you want to add to our discussion? Because we want to get set aside a little time for praying for healing at the end.
Let's see. What would I like to say, too?
I do want to add one thing about God calling. There's a new book out called Jesus Calling.
I have that one,
and
too.
And it's wonderful. It's the same kind of thing.
It's
another woman who gave her life over to God, and she had all these quotations and words.
Beautiful.
It's just so nice to see all of this confirmed in the 1800s,
absolutely,
in the 1900s, and now in the 2000s. And you go back all the way in time.
Well, doesn't Jesus say, you know, maybe this is my last closing, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Tomorrow
he
and forever.
He still heals today.
Absolutely.
Yes, he does.
He does.
And he'll come out of nowhere.
And he answers prayer.
Just like we talked earlier, he will answer prayer.
He will
touch you somehow. He will touch you. He'll come alive in you.
Absolutely.
You know, I've had that for 35 years.
Absolutely.
In prayer time, and I write what I hear. It's for me, it's personal, but people read them online. I have a website, holyspiritwithin.net.
Yes, now
I'm now
$50.
Up to over 78,000 visitors to the website.
Wow, great.
People reading those words and telling me they help change their lives.
Absolutely.
And they're not, you know, I don't claim it. They're just God's interaction with me. And if it helps you, fine. And to me, that's what Scripture is.
Absolutely.
It's God's interaction with people all over the years.
Yeah, and it's a guideline for how we should be conducting our lives.
Yes.
I call it that all the time.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how these women who wrote this book, you know, how they would how they would have impacted my life way down the road. And they're not even from the U.S.
I know.
So, you know, here they were, two women who were writing these writings and how what they wrote spoke to my situation. That's
absolutely.
That's the Holy
absolutely.
Spirit.
Absolutely.
And I've got enamored of the Psalms now. And I'm going back and looking at the Psalms written thousands of years ago. And it means something to me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, and of course it would. It's God in relationship with
us. And all those readings, and your readings. I've read your book and your readings and this book here, God Calling and Jesus Calling. If you read them, you almost feel that God and Jesus is talking directly to you. I mean, it's not that he's talking to the world. He's pointing you out and talking directly to you. And I think you feel that way too, John.
Well, that's that personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know?
And we want to call on that now. And we want to pray for healing for our listeners.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just the same as your mother was touched by God's love and healed and through a terrible time in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have and you have. We've all had that. And we have all of their petitions
here,
Tony.
They're all in there. Yep.
And we just ask Jesus, please, come in and touch our listeners now. I believe that if we invite him in right now, He'll speak through us to listeners. He's done that many times when I do workshops. He just speaks. So all we have to do is get quiet and ask him to talk through us, Lord. And he's saying, I am healing a woman who has severe depression along with physical disabilities. Now, there are a lot of women like that, Lord. Yeah, but this woman will know who I'm talking about. But I go further. Listeners, this show has been about becoming open to my presence in you. So I open each of you. You manage, if you listen this long, you're hooked. And that's the way it is. Rose, do you have anything you want to add?
We just pray that whoever is listening, just to open up your heart, trust Jesus. And we just ask now, as we are in agreement, when two or three are gathered, I am in the midst of thee. So we are three. And Jesus, you are in the midst. And we just pray for any person who's listening, that whatever healing that they're seeking, we just pray that your healing love will go from the very crown of their heads to the very soles of their feet. And we just pray that you will heal, you will deliver, and you will give peace to whoever who's listening.
Tony?
Amen.
Yeah, I just want to give praise and glory and thanks to Jesus for allowing John and I to do this program, to reach out to the people and to spread Jesus' love and to ask him to lift up the petitions that we have, a bag full of petitions. Petitions are so scattered. There are so many people. Some are suffering with diseases. Some are depressed. Some are looking for financial help. And some, quite honestly, are from our own family. And so we pray for those petitions, and we ask Jesus that we lift them up to him and that he acquiesce to our wishes.
And
thank
we
you, Jesus.
Also want to go back to that song. We want to unite everybody to the love of Jesus. And why not finish the show with this? Listeners, this is what we ask.
And that ties in with the love letter from Jesus.
And don't forget May 12th, the bus going over to April 12th. Sorry.
And nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
Nothing.
And I may go free. I'm not sure yet.
Angela, take over. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Thank you.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.